broadcasting live from the Stewart Title Studio on Broadway in Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Business Radio X, highlighting business leaders, entrepreneurs, and a whole lot more. Well, coming to you live from Stewart Title Studio in, on Broadway here in Tucson, Arizona. It's another, well, this one is lovely. The glass ceilings I really look forward to, and there is no glass ceiling. Our show today featuring three excellent workers, hard, dedicated women who have either gone out on their own and entrepreneurs, run their own business, or still working for themselves, but maybe working for a big brand in their particular line. And I'm referring to Isabel Banerjee. Good morning, Isabel, or good afternoon.
Hello, Mark.
Nice to have you.
Thanks for having us.
And Carolyn Herrick.
Nice to be here, Mark.
And Karen.
Good afternoon.
Fisher.
Fisher. Karen Fisher.
Nice to have you, ladies. And Business Radio X, of course. I'm doing two shows at the moment, but I can promise you, because you must be getting tired of my voice, but we've got some terrific hosts coming on with their own shows soon, like Robin Young, who's going to be doing arts and commerce. And we have Ron Petrie, Building Today. That's an interesting one if you're into homes, commercial or be a domestic, and all sorts of things to fix your place. And another interesting one is Common, what's it called again? Community Law. That's going to be fascinating. And that's some lawyers doing that one. And we've got another host by the name, lovely bloke, Josh Gruber. He has just gone out with his company starting up as Poppy Yards. And within 3 months, he's already absolutely kicking butt, as I think the saying is. And good on him, a young man with a little bubba and another little girl as well. So, you know, I'm thrilled to be here to be mixing with people who've got the hotspur to do something and get on with their lives, just like this lady, Isabel. And, well, she's the CEO and co-founder of Squatch Girl. It's an online statement apparel and accessories company. It's on a mission to liberate art and support emerging artists to be seen and to be successful. Now, if that's not enough, she likes to give back activity, another, you know, pay it forward, helping other women to grow professional and personal confidence, business and leadership skills, and maximize the value of an advisory board. And I'm referring to, she is chair of Grow Your Biz Tucson, a facilitated peer advisory board for women business owners and women leaders. Whew, is that a mouthful?
That's some of what I do, Mark. Yes. Yeah.
Well, it's a lot. And I tell you, we're going to come right back. I want to introduce Carolyn. Carolyn, she's an Air Force veteran of 12 years, right?
That's right.
A wife, a mom, and a proud mom at that. She's a public relations professional. And her love and love of the arts, essential oil enthusiasts. Okay. And she first discovered essential oils back in 2013, but had no frame of reference for purity and efficacy until she found Young Living. This is a big company now with a 25-year history and the only company in the world that actually owns its own farms across the continents. So that's interesting. We're going to be speaking with Carolyn on that. And not only just do you smell nice, but it's also, it's about health as well, isn't it, love? It's people are getting cured. Now, young Karen, you may be a solopreneur waiting to blossom. Here's the definition of a solopreneur, according to Google. The solopreneur is somebody developing their own personal brand. They're creators and inventors. They're not creating a company to hire employees. They don't have access to piles of money. They're just creating a niche for themselves in their own marketplace. Now, let's sort of fit you a little bit because you are a gun in what you do, a female a broker in helping people secure their homes, their first home, their last home, maybe their fifth home, correct?
Well, any home anywhere in the state of Arizona. Okay, so it could be residential from 1 to 4 units, so a lot of investment properties, et cetera. And just for clarity, not a broker.
Okay.
I am a banker, meaning that we have our own money, and I have an unlimited supply.
Now, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
you're your own banker as well. Like, yeah. Is there ever?
There's a huge difference.
But you're still with Summit Funding, yes?
Yes, Summit Funding is the parent corporation.
Okay.
And making sure that we handle our due diligence. My NMLS number is 180167.
See, that's good. This
See,
is
I'm
what
a
you,
number, really.
This is what you've got to do. Oh, you are a lot more I'm than a number. Yeah. I've known Karen for some time, and she's an absolute lady.
The CFPB has decided that we are only numbers, but that's another story.
Okay, so you're going to share with us today, for any young ladies listening who are on their own or maybe want to go out on their own and do something or other, but they've got a way of being able to, you know, get money to get settled and perhaps work from home, set up an office from home, but get that home in the first place.
Yes, absolutely.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Now, Carolyn, you have clients all over the place. As a veteran, you do understand the stresses of everyday life, including deployments, being away from family, and the physical toll that military life takes, right?
I sure do.
You have all of that. Now, you've discovered, in fact, you're passionate about sharing the benefits of essential oils for mind, body, and spirit. What really got you into this? What got you started?
Well, this is a really good question, because it's really the heart of why I have a business at all, and that is my own health, starting with just the Western medicine model that wasn't working for me well. You know, in the military, just like Karen said, you're kind of a number. You go in, you have something wrong, you see a doctor, you get a prescription, you take that prescription and you end up with another side effect, which causes more problems. You go back for that problem, they give you another prescription. So in 2013, just before I was pregnant, I was on 8 or 9 prescriptions a day. And I was a 28-year-old healthy military age female with no reason in my mind why I should be so sick. So I really started to take things into my own hands and started to read labels. Something as simple as turning around a can of food to see what's in it and that sort of thing. And I really started
something we really take for granted every
it
day.
It really is.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, I personally like not having so strict of regulations on some things. But on the other hand, that leads to a lot of just need for knowledge from consumers. And so for me personally, just going through that process where I all of a sudden realized that I was putting things on and in my body every single day that were making me sick, and realizing that I wanted a wellness model that wasn't based on a disease and a cure, but was based on really seeking a wellness path. You know, just in the news on military.com yesterday, I believe they were talking about back in the 70s and 80s at George Air Force Base, it was so toxic, they literally told women, don't get pregnant here.
You're serious?
I'm serious. And women had such strong cases of uterine cancer, ovarian cancer, and deformities in miscarriage and loss. And we're only just starting to see just a little bit of that decades later. And I'm absolutely certain in my 12 years all around the world, I was probably exposed to more things than the average person, of course. It may take average more than average time to get fully well, but this is one step that I've taken to start eliminating toxic chemicals and putting things on and in my body that are pure and healthy.
Well, you've got to start somewhere. And I guess when we come back, we're going to go into a little bit more in this. Because, you know, I mean, there's a wide field out there of ailments, and there's a wide field of people needing help one way or the other. And they're discovering stuff today that's amazing. But I'm really interested to hear more about that later. Now, when it comes to you, young Isabel, CEO and CEO founder of Squatch Girl. Tell me about Squatch Girl. Why did this come up when you're already busy as it is?
It comes out of what's driven me all my life, and that's a desire to continue to learn. I love to take on a challenge and to learn a new skill, a new business. And this was about learning the world of e-commerce and learning more about social media marketing, etc. In conversation with one of my clients, who subsequently became a business partner, we said, hey, let's have a little fun. Let's start up an e-commerce company and use that just as an opportunity for education, and it will support our other business activities at the same time.
All right. A double whammy there.
Double whammy. But lo and behold, that child became the favorite child.
Yeah. That's often the case.
Yes.
Something takes over. Yeah.
Absolutely. And out of the process over the last about 9 months, so the baby is just about due, it evolved into recognizing a need to put art into the hands of more people and to support the tremendous talented emerging artists who are unfortunately stereotypically the starving artists. Mm. And who are working in many, many other menial jobs to support their talent. And so our desire is to fund them to create more art and to put it on canvases that everybody can enjoy, whether that's a t-shirt or a journal cover or a beach towel or whatever it may be.
Interesting concept.
Yeah, we're going to make that available so that we all have more beauty and joy in our everyday lives.
All right. Now, does this mean that they can be fed, so to speak, with some of the funds from the sales of all these things?
Oh, absolutely. First, we start by putting money out right away and paying them for their original work.
Okay. Right. And they get a fair price for that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because what we want to do is create the environment for them to feel creative and free and to spend more time with their gift and creating more art. I mean, it's a wonderful symbiotic relationship.
So do they sign over the rights to you in doing that?
It depends. In each case, we have an agreement with the artist that is appropriate for them, whether they have other outlets for their art. For instance, one of our first artists, Jessica Gonzalez, is a Tucson native. She reproduces her art on some of the best murals here in town.
Mm.
And I recommend that you check them out. And she's Jessica Gonzalez Art.
Okay. Well, no doubt Robin Young, who will be hosting a show soon here on Art and Commerce, she'll be researching that out and checking it out too.
So in some cases, we're licensing something that an artist has created. In other cases, we are purchasing outright a commissioned piece, which is for our exclusive use.
Mm-hmm.
Or there may be a variation of a shared use process. And in another case, we are contracting what we call work for hire, where we have a concept and we say, create this for us.
Do this for us. Here's roughly what the sketch is, what we want.
Yes.
And then you print that.
Yes.
So the ones that miss out, unfortunately, are the sculptors and so on, because we can't be walking around with these big things on our back.
Well,
can you take a photograph of that sculpture?
Anything is possible, and that's what's so exciting about this and why this has become the favorite child, because it's, you know, that challenge to use our imagination and creativity to put that art, whatever medium it's in, onto something that you can enjoy in your home, your office, your workout studio, your gym, etc. In fact, I'm delighted to meet Carolyn today, because two of our artisans produce aromatherapy jewelry.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes. So I'll have to share those with you, but they are on our website.
Well, maybe she'll share a little bit. Carolyn will tell us a bit more about it. I didn't realize. I get these visions straight away of jewelry on me that release these beautiful aromas. Or no, it's not like that.
Leather, lava, you name it. All mediums. Yes,
really?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, where are we? Carolyn is Facebook and Instagram at EOAware, and your site is essentiallyaware.com. Okay. Now, where are you going with this business now? What's your next step? Because I remember a year ago or 2 years ago on my other radio station and I was interviewing you. You were really just starting off, but it looks like you've kicked a bucket here and really gone some places.
I have. In fact, so transitioning from the story I just told you, I got out of the active duty military and transitioned to the civilian sector. So last time we were talking, I was still at GS on base here in Tucson. And I've since been able to quit that job and pursue this full time from home. So I went from 3 jobs and a 3-year-old to just really one single source of income, working part time from home, my own schedule, my own hours, everything. And with the people that I'd most like to work with, which is probably the biggest perk for me being so social as I am. I just want to be working with people that I know, like, and trust.
Right.
So that's a really great benefit. When you ask, where am I headed next? Wow. The show is no glass ceiling, so I'll just tell you, I'm rank 5 of 9 in the Young Living structure. You have these different levels that you can reach in sales, like with most direct sales companies. But when you're talking about no glass ceiling, really you're talking about an income disclosure statement, which you can find online at youngliving.com/IDS, and I am required to say that if we're talking about money, but the highest ranks here are earning, $250,000 a month, and that's
See, that blood would blow people away, wouldn't it?
Imaginable money, right?
That is unbelievable.
But where am I headed? Of course, everybody would love, you know, the yacht money, but mm-hmm. I'm headed really to retire my husband next.
Okay, because he's in the military too, right?
He is. He's an Air Force reservist, and he loves what he does, but to not have to take a full-time job on top of that reserve job would be fantastic for us. Right.
So anybody that's been listening to this has just fallen off the chair, getting back up again. we'll come back on the $250,000, right? Because that... Can you come back to something normal?
Yes, something normal. Okay, so you get, like you said, we're talking about no glass ceiling. So I'll give you a frame of reference. The fourth rank, which is one below where I'm at right now, you're talking about 6 months worth of work to get to a part-time annualized average income of about $27,000 per year.
Okay.
Not bad, right? Most stay-at-home moms, my word, people looking for part-time work.
That would pay the mortgage, help towards the mortgage.
Heck, it's almost as much as a teacher's salary here in Arizona.
That's nothing to be proud of, is it?
And then, and then just in one more year of work, if you get to the next rank, which is where I'm at right now, you can take that from $26,000 to about $72,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're talking about a foundation that you build, but then you continue to build it out to where it really is a full-time income.
Right.
And from there, the numbers get a little sillier, but it's something that will replace really two household incomes and give you the ability to go where you want, when you want, and do what you want. Mm-hmm. Not in a ridiculously rich Bill Gates kind of way, of course,
right,
but just in a really normal, average American dream kind of thing. Well, you don't have debt.
Yeah, it's America, man. You should be able to go for the ceiling, you know, whatever you want. In fact, there is no ceiling, is there, when we talk about it? Is there? There
not
is no
according to these numbers.
Well, when you first saw all those and they were shared with you for the first time, I mean, you're a very practical, down-to-earth person too. Surely you must have thought, now, you know, can I earn that sort of money, really, you know?
Well, you would think that, but what's really funny is the people who were sharing these numbers with me were stay-at-home moms who are homeschooling their kids in the state of Texas and who were reaching these numbers in the matter of 3 or 4 years of consistent hard work. And, you know, I'm not here to tell anybody that it's just going to be easy and everybody works for you.
Oh, it's no lay down Mazir.
No, not at all. But we're talking about people that I know, like, and trust who are saying, you know, this is a really viable income. And come to think of it, I didn't even start because of the income. I started because I love the product so much.
The products, yeah.
And I had found so much better options through homeopathy and natural means. Mm-hmm. To normal everyday concerns that I had, especially while pregnant, where there was limited options.
Right.
Anyhow, and I just started telling people about it. I mean, I would, no kidding, get together with people in my living room and just say, hey, just smell some things and I'll tell you what they've done for me. And I didn't really even realize in the beginning that there was a business opportunity attached to this. It really is just, you need this and I need this and I love you enough to tell you about it. But I wasn't doing it for a paycheck.
Right. You're doing it because you wanted to share. We'll come back on that a little later. Karen, you're in a different world, but you know what? You help a lot of people. You know, and you get a lot of satisfaction, I would deduce, because there's always a smile on your dial, you know, and you are one of the top performers, I believe, in America. I think you won an award.
Yeah, a very large award.
Very large
many
award.
Many of them, but that's, right. Yeah.
Now, forgive me for not remembering what the title was of the award, but explain what it was.
So to make a long story short, there was a contest that was done, and it was it was one of the production awards for Summit. And they're always doing all kinds of things as far as the company, recognizing that the number one thing that we do, we really are, me as a loan officer and my history, mm-hmm. is I am the pathway to someone's keys. One of my clients best described it as, Karen, what you do that's different. Because I want to ask, you know, what makes me different? Why, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, there.
Why
know,
deal with Karen yeah, Fisher
why deal
versus
with
someone
Karen
else?
Fisher versus yeah. anybody else. Yeah. And one of my clients said years ago, says, Karen, you give light to the pathway of homeownership. Because people, you know, you think about it, you know, the newspaper has just been full of all these horrible things that have happened to a lot of people. There isn't a person in this room or anywhere within Stewart Title that doesn't know somebody that was really, really hurt mm-hmm. in the mortgage crisis.
Oh, my God.
I mean, just people devastated and rebuilding everything.
Well, we never want to go back there, but I'm telling you still read things about where they haven't learned.
Oh, yeah. That's
is that another
constant
story?
That's a constant thing. But the thing to recognize, though, is that, you know, one of the things people say, Karen, you make things fun. And I was, you know, I'm always thinking about stuff. What am I thinking about? And I thought, you know what? that I do make it fun. And you know what FUN stands for in the lending piece for me? It's an acronym. Mm-hmm. The F stands for let's find out, the fact-finding part of it.
Okay.
The U is understanding what your ultimate goals are. Because people will call me and they'll ask me, they don't know what else to ask. So they ask me, what's your rate? They don't know that there's 27 factors that go into what's your rate.
Yeah, what's your rate?
And they're so focused on the mortgage piece that they might be forgetting the 24% that they're paying on their credit cards. You know, there's all kinds of things. So what are you doing and looking at that total piece of it?
Now, is this what you do when you sit down with a new client?
Every time.
You
do the phone. Okay. Over the phone. And I don't have to have, the borrowers don't have to be physically in Tucson. I am licensed anywhere in the state of Arizona, but my company is licensed in 43 states.
Okay. So, you can be talking to somebody anywhere.
Absolutely. All the time. And then, so we've got the F for the fact finding. We've got the U for understanding what their needs are. And then the N is the necessary steps, the path of, what do we need to do to get you from where you are right now to where you want to be? Because the reality is most people are not in a position to write a check to purchase a home.
Yeah.
Furthermore, I can't tell you how many people, there's an interesting statistic, 70% of all of the people that pay cash for their homes come back and get a mortgage within 6 months. And I was trying to figure out, I want to know why. I want to know why. I'm like the Nancy Drew detective trying to figure out the why. And you know what it is? They meet with their accountant and they meet with their CPA and they are in big trouble. That's why they end up coming back and they're taking out a loan, because it is still one of the very few correct tax deductions. And you work with financial advisors, you've got financial planners that are asset managers. Well, think of me as a debt manager.
Yeah. You know, Karen, maybe those people, see, I was brought up in that age, though, that if you could get away with not having any debts or loans, this was the way to go in life. And you saved everything and you went without till you could afford it. Then you pay cash for it. Now, not so much a home, I guess, because there's a lot more in that. There's a lot more expensive in that. But if they've saved a lot and they've got other ways of doing it, you know, those people don't realize perhaps that, look, your money could be doing a lot more for you.
Well, and there's no one size fits all.
That's it.
You know, that's
everybody's
the thing.
Different.
You've got to look at the whole picture and you see the things. Now, this is the flip side. We're talking about the show being no glass ceilings. Let me tell you, there are self-imposed glass ceilings is what I want to say within the United States. And what is happening? There's training and there's mindsets and there's connections that are missing within the women. Because a very interesting true statistic is that of the people that earn $1 million per year or more, statistically, and I'll have to get the exact information for you, but in the past 10 years, that needle has not changed. It's only 2% of women. Yet women entrepreneurs are starting businesses. We've had this conversation, but statistically, women entrepreneurs are starting their businesses something like 4 or 5 to 1 compared to men starting businesses.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things that the reality is that, like, just within the mortgage world alone, the majority of the mortgage world is handled by women. But guess what? Not where the money is.
Isn't that interesting?
Because there's a little bit, you don't want to be salesy. Oh, my God. God forbid I should say that, what do? I sell mortgages. That's what I do. You know, I'm providing a service, but, people are...
It's a stigma.
It's interesting.
It's the same old stigma. You know, what I find staggering, 20 to 30 million Americans work for themselves. This category is growing fast. And they don't mention, though, that there are more women than men. And I think women would last longer than men. I do, because women know how to take pain. Men don't.
Oh.
There's a massive movement away from traditional companies. And most of the new jobs in America are coming from small companies. Who are these people? People like Isabel over here, right?
Yes, and so many women that I have met. I moved here from Canada 7 years ago. And I did some research because having been an entrepreneur for most of my life, I wanted to know who was here, you know, what was the climate. And I was astounded to find out there was something at that time of the order of about 125,000 women-owned businesses in the state of Arizona. And I think now it's like upwards of about 150,000 because, to Karen's point, women are starting more businesses than men are.
Mm-hmm. A lot of it's retail too.
Retail that can be a home environment, a home-based business that you start from there and you grow, but they're also, and there's the traditional businesses for women in you know, those education and medicine and finance areas. But now I'm seeing personally evidence of very diverse, non-traditional businesses being started by women. Just the other day, because I shared with Mark, I just moved to Tucson, or I'm in the process of moving to Tucson, and I found a woman-owned locksmith business here in Tucson, and I was just like, how exciting is that? So I think it's a matter of being aware that we have choices. I don't know if it's come to Tucson yet, but I'm certainly hopeful that I can help that happen. There's an organization that started in Phoenix last year, where I'm moving from, Tucson, called WOWOB, Women-Owned, Women-Operated Businesses. And it's a, you know, sort of Angie's List, if you will, for women-owned businesses. So that when you have a, when you need a service, take a look, you know, take a look. Because we know that women contribute more money back to the community with their businesses than men do, and then major corporate, that money is usually flowing out of the state. But if you invest in, when you have a choice, invest in a woman-owned business, more of the money stays in the community. It goes to supporting other women-owned businesses. It goes to fundraising, charity. It's very exciting, that whole power of the purse.
Yeah, there's a very interesting, there's a woman here in town, she's now retired, but Victoria Shaw is her name, and Victoria did her master's in public health by going to, she actually went to a country in South America, and specifically what they did, this is interesting, to help the health of that community. What they did is that they did microloans, like $500, $300 microloans for these women to start businesses in South America. And what happens, as soon as they had money, they poured it back into their children in terms of better nutrition, medical care, et cetera. And so it's been interesting to, that was what she got her public health, her master's in public health, doing absolutely that research.
There's this whole sort of explosive thing that happens when you do that, because they invest in the children going to school.
Yes.
And that creates jobs for teachers, and it creates jobs for people building the schools, and it creates jobs for the people driving the kids to school, and so on and so forth. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, and one of the things I think that, and I think we've talked about this, is about being in Tucson, because you weren't always in Tucson. Carolyn was not always in Tucson.
She's a Texas girl, aren't you?
No, I'm not at all. I'm from all over.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But one of the things that is interesting is that Tucson, I'm a Phoenix native. But Tucson compared, and this is not Phoenix bashing, but Tucson is more, they embrace more. There's more, the men that are big business owners here in Tucson do not, they're very gracious about being able to help and give a hand up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking of the Jim Clicks of this town and other people that are, you know, they're like, yes, you can do this. And so there's opportunities here for women that our doors are open, that, you know, is not necessarily true in other metropolitan communities.
And, you know, one of the things about Young Living that I love the most, not to steal the limelight from it, but we have the Young Living Foundation, which is a nonprofit charitable organization that does all sorts of different projects globally, especially in areas where they have their farms, because we mentioned Young Living owns their own farms and operates farms around the world. So, for instance, when there was an earthquake in Haiti, we sent a lot of relief work.
That's cool.
Even the hurricanes here, Hurricane Harvey last year in Houston, we sent a lot of help. They have Hope for Justice, which is an international anti-trafficking organization that goes and rescues women. I got goosebumps. Starting at age one was their youngest victim. And we're going, and the since Young Living is a largely female owned, probably 90% of distributors in Young Living are women, there is that huge heart to help people around the world. And I'm not saying that doesn't exist in men, but like you said, it's so gratifying to see other women come together on causes that they believe in. And it goes so far beyond the oils and so far into the communities to where actually when we're talking about stupid money, like we were earlier, Mark, we're talking about people who start with what they call the tithe concept of giving about 10% of their income. And now a lot of the women that I personally know and work with are starting to try to operate on a business called the reverse tithe, where they're giving away 90% of what they're earning and living on 10%, which would be a lot easier.
Well, Andrew Carnegie did that.
Really?
Yes,
no,
he did. Andrew Carnegie.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
What an incredible model for us all, right? Yeah. And so when you're talking about these no glass ceilings, you're really also talking about an opportunity to impact the world, which is something that I am very passionate about. I'm funding adoptions and doing other things like that and giving to children in underprivileged countries to feed them and
very
keep them with their families.
Very good.
And one of the other networking organizations that I'm involved with, which is an international organization, it's called eWomen Network. And eWomen Network, one of the things that the founder, Sandra Yancey, it's Sandra and her husband, Kim, but the founder has her goal. She is so clear on that. She wants to help 1 million women generate $1 million in revenue and sustain it per year. She's got the coolest logo. There's t-shirts available, you know, the things.
Well, that's
but she's like, you know, looking at what is it within that business model? What do you need? Do you need access? Do you need training? Do you, you know, what is it that you need to be able to support that? Because, you know, when we shift that dial where it's no longer 2% of the $1 million earners, when it's no longer that 2%,
mm-hmm.
the impact that it's going to be, that it's going to have regarding our communities, regarding the causes that we believe in, regarding just, you know, making this world a better place. It's pretty exciting.
All that counts. What a difference, you see. Can you imagine guys carrying on like this? I can't. No, that's why women lead the way. Isabel, I want to ask you, from your bio, you founded and grew an industrial chemical business. This was in a time and in a market that had very, very few women in leadership roles. So what was it like for you to stand out from the crowd? How readily were you accepted by the male majority of that industry?
Well, I can tell you I had a definite advantage at these industrial chemical conferences because in a sea of 2,000, 3,000 attendees at the conferences, there was one taller white woman standing out in the crowd, right? In the beginning, there was resistance, absolutely, because here I was, a young upstart, first of all, no chemical education background. And no official sales training. And so there was like, she doesn't fit, she doesn't belong. And there was a initial reaction of sort of turning their back on me.
Mm-hmm.
But like women, we know how to develop relationships. And so my point of entry was, I'm not here to tell you how to do it or to pretend I know how to do this. I'm here to learn from you. And I'm here to find out what your problems are and then see if I can find a solution. And that, over time, either wore them down or...
That was acceptable, I'll put that way.
Yeah, it became acceptable. And really, truly, in the late 80s, the early 90s, there were very, very few women in the industry, particularly industrial chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And I managed to build that.
Well, you've done very well for yourself. And now, of course, here you go again. I mean, you are at an age, although you look very young, you are at an age that... you know, women and men would be saying to you, why don't you slow down, Isabel? You should be taking things a little easier now. Here you are again launching another brand new business.
Yes.
I mean, what's the matter with you? Huh?
You know, I tried that retirement shirt on for a while and went, ooh, no.
Mm-hmm.
I did try out after I sold my industrial chemical business a few years of being the lady of leisure and eating some bonbons and moving to Arizona, trying it out. And I felt completely lost because I needed stimulation.
Right.
I needed interaction. I missed the action of the entrepreneurial business building community. And I missed that whole part, as you were saying, Karen, about the difference that we can make when we put our shoulders to the wheel and help each other. My personal motto is lift as you climb.
Oh my gosh, that's an eWomen Network model too, yeah.
Well, and it's what I feel we should all do what I know, what I've learned, if I pass that along and share, that comes back to me very, very abundantly from other people.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. Karma works. Now, I do want to ask you this, though. If what's one thing you wish you could do more of in a day? Mm-hmm.
I wish that I could... That's a big question.
Well, obviously more time, but...
Yeah, that's really where it's coming down to. I wish that I could finish more things in a day. I start a lot. I have a lot of ideas. And so getting them all going, I do miss having a staff. And I'll be glad when this company has grown to the size where we can bring on the specialists to do the execution.
Hmm. Well, you do only have two arms and two legs, you know. I mean, you can only do so much.
I'm afraid that's not acceptable, Mark.
No, let's see. I like the attitude. It's amazing. You remind me of a woman I know called Karen Fisher. Boy. There she is over there. That Karen, how are you doing? Now, Carolyn, you've done some good help for people health-wise. Can you give us a couple of examples of how what you've used with the essential oils?
Sure.
How you've really helped some people.
Well, of course, we have to always speak within the realm of wellness, not stick to wellness, just because of the restrictions of the
FDA. I understand. But for our listeners, you know, what can they do? Let's face it. What can these oils do for them if they've got some issues?
Well, first and foremost, eliminating toxic chemicals. I feel awkward almost sitting between someone who does industrial chemicals and someone who does mortgages when we're talking about paying off debt. But no, in all seriousness, these are things that the average person can take small steps, tiny steps, cleaning with green cleaners. You're talking about also green products. You're talking about environmentally friendly products. Mm-hmm. And indoor pollution alone is starting to get to be higher than outdoor pollution because of everything that we let into our homes. Mm-hmm. If people would make tiny switches, like instead of using dryer sheets, buy those wool dryer balls and use some essential oils to scent them, which are totally natural, not synthetic. Mm-hmm. Those tiny little things can lead to a bigger picture of health that is no more respiratory issues, no more allergy issues, things that solve themselves because you're not just totally invading your body with things that are bad for you. So when you're talking about using this product versus that product, you're really looking at a purity issue. And there's an app called Think Dirty that we like to use.
Okay.
You can scan barcodes at the grocery store or wherever you shop for your household products. And you just scan a barcode on your deodorant and you see what the toxicity rating is. Some of these things are linked to breast cancer. Johnson & Johnson lost a huge lawsuit a couple of years ago with talc and using talc.
My mother loved that stuff. She used it, and yet I lost her at 58 with cancer.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm. But who knows, you know.
Who knows indeed, but, you know, when they start linking these things, just like we talked earlier about the George Air Force Base, you're talking decades-old information that's now available. And similarly, if I know that I can choose a healthier product for myself or my family, things that aren't endocrine disruptors, things that aren't going to totally mess with your fertility or, and it sounds extreme, you know, sometimes buzzwords.
But it sounds like you're extremely aware though. How tough is it for the average person to think this way?
It's very tough. It's a baby step process. Like I said, it started for me just turning around food. It wasn't even essential oils when I started. It was just food. If you turn around a box of something and there are things that you can't pronounce, look it up, you know, just Google, this XYZ ingredient, and usually you can either Google benefits or dangers.
Well, people are becoming more conscious of that.
They absolutely are. And, chemical and drug companies are becoming aware of it and changing. And this is what's so exciting to me. Kraft macaroni and cheese, Heinz ketchup, they're all removing, you know, bad ingredients from their products and replacing them with good ones because the consumers are speaking. I just read an article today that millennials aren't buying fabric softener anymore because it's all it is inhalants and artificial fragrance. And when you have something like lavender essential oil instead that's going to promote restful sleep, it's going to calm your kids down. It's going to keep those dogs from being crazy during fireworks. If I had a dollar for every friend of mine who's rubbing their dog's ears down with a lavender oil as fireworks are going off, I'd be rich right now. And because it works and it's safe and healthy, it's easier than drugs and chemicals.
So if someone was listening, you know, to what you're saying now, they can go to your site.
Absolutely.
Okay, which is again?
Essentially where.com. Mm-hmm. And there's a little get started tab right there. And it will talk to you all about how you buy oils from Young Living. So it's all directly from the farms. It's all, but I'm the middleman in terms of just being a referral. I'm your education source.
Okay.
Like you said, I have clients all around the world and we get online on Zoom or on Facebook or on all sorts of different media that we have available today. Mm-hmm. And they learn from me. I have 4 different certifications from the Center for Aromatherapy Research and Education. That's new since you and I talked last.
Congratulations. Well done.
Thank you. I'm going to hospitals and anointing friends' feet with oil who are there, combat veterans who, you know, in motorcycle accidents and
oh, fantastic. Good job.
You know, right. it's soothing to your mind, body, and spirit. So right. If people are looking to take one step, I would say get a kit, get a starter kit.
Get a starter kit.
It's a diffuser and 11 oils, and you can use that in 150 different ways.
Well, I love that now. I don't go to bed at night without having the oils burning and so on, and then around the house, and you condition yourself to do it, and it's just more pleasant. There's no doubt about it, and you feel better. You do feel better.
You do.
Karen, you light a special oil under every client, don't you?
Yeah.
What's your secret?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have to say the number one, you know, I look back at this in terms of my career. So, yes, I've been a loan officer since March of 2000, but from 1983 until 2000, I was a realtor. I was an associate broker. I was a branch manager, owned my own real estate firm. Yeah. I literally, as a real estate agent, did the very first FHA short sale in the state of Arizona.
That's right. You did,
so,
too.
So, you know, just crazy things that have been there.
Smart cheeky boo, this one, I tell you. Yeah.
Well, but I would say the number one thing, and people say this, I ask people, and they say, they go, how are you still so enthusiastic? I'm like, we just celebrated Independence Day yesterday. You realize, and then Canada Day was just on Sunday. But think about this. Mm-hmm. In most of the world, North America is one of the very few places that you have private property rights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
This is right.
And to think that we have an ability to own your own home, when you know, there are countries that, you know.
I know, but you know, it's almost like, you know, how lucky we are to be able to do that.
It's just unbelievable. And so I get so excited and I think about it. You know, part of it is my daughter, who is now 27 years old, she says, Mom, you collect people. I said, what? What do you mean? You collect people. I said, what do you mean by that? And she says, you always want to know everything about people and their stories. So think about it. As a mortgage loan officer, when you sit down with me face to face, let's just have a conversation and find out what your options are. Because I tell you what, people are smarter than they know. They think that, oh my gosh, I'm so freaked out. If you sit down and you look at the numbers, and then you look at what all of the options, it's going to be very logical as to what the family member should do. My field of study prior to doing anything was anything in real estate was biomedical engineering. I'm one of those geeks that does read the back of packages and have done for years. So to be able to help somebody, I mean, there's nothing more gratifying than helping somebody with their dream. But then how about helping them with their credit? I had a client that, you know, so many of our young people, they didn't get the lessons on how do you build and establish credit to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I volunteer. I teach at the U of A. I've taught at Pima College. I teach at the within the elementary schools. You know, just teaching them the very, very basics. How do you build credit? How do you start? How do you keep yourself from getting into trouble? And understanding that
affects life greatly.
Everybody.
That teaches the youth
absolutely
how to, you know, handle monies and how to think differently before they get out of the real world. Because it just doesn't.
Well,
you know,
and
appear,
when I tell
it?
People and I tell them all the time, with their teachers sitting right there, the teachers don't like me saying this, but I tell them anyhow. I'm like, I'm going to tell you right now that there's a score that's a number, if you will, that is more important than your SAT or your ACT score. And it is your FICO score. And I'm going to give you the combinations. I want you to remember that. You guys can write this down and share it. Feel free to R&D, rob and duplicate. So, it's 2, 31, 7. It takes 2 years to build your credit. 31 days, 1 missed payment to destroy it. 7 years to clean it up.
Wow.
Okay. There's more punishment in the credit world than there is in anything that anybody does.
231-7.
231-7, that's the combination. And when you talk to those children, I had a young woman who came through one of my classes at Pima College, and I think I told you this story, Carolyn. Carolyn and I have met before. It was so fun. I didn't know that she was going to be here. I'm all excited, you know. But bottom line is, afterwards, this young woman comes up to me, and she wanted to speak to me, and she's standing very straight, has her arms behind her, and she says, "May I speak to you after the class?" And I said, "Absolutely." And she says to me, true story, "I just want to thank you for what you have shared with me, because you may not know this, but you may have saved my life, because my goal is to be in the military and to be in military intelligence. And what I know is that if I mess up on my credit in the military, that I can be sent literally to the front lines. You are owned by the government, and they can tell you where to go." She says to me, "My mom has been pressuring me to get a student loan, even though it doesn't cost me anything to go, because my mother says that you owe me to take out the student loan to bail out her." And she says, "I'm going to go home tonight, and I'm going to tell my mom I am not signing these papers. I know I will be kicked out of the house, but that'll be okay, because my military family someday." And she did. She enlisted 6 months later, and she scored so high on the test. And that is how powerful it is to communicate how to take care of your credit. And the rules are changing. What people thought they knew, the algorithm is constantly changing, always within the credit world.
There you go. You know, you bounce back. I mean, I think you lost your mom or your dad only recently.
My mom. My mom actually died when she was 66, but we have been going through the past 6 months, family health stuff. We've got aging parents. And mm-hmm. it's been the first 6 months of 2018.
Everybody has a bad time.
Been kind to the Fisher family for health.
Unbelievable. Well, you wouldn't know that, would you, girls? Yeah. Listening to her and all the rest of it. I mean, she always motivates me, I can tell you. We're going to be closing this show pretty soon on No Glass Ceiling with Mark Bishop. But I do want to ask Isabel, three brilliant young ladies today, what is something that most people would be surprised to know about you? And Carol, you're next. So
that was perfect.
That I have over 50 years of business experience. And my joy is sharing that. I like to share what I learned to do in building businesses, successful businesses. And more importantly, I like to share what not to do. And Karen's advice about money and credit worthiness, sustainability, is very important in business, right? Because women business owners, although we're starting more businesses, we tend to be undercapitalized. And we don't understand the proper relationship between risk and debt mm-hmm. and growth. And educating women on that is one of the things I like to do. That's the other hat that I wear here in Tucson. I'm the chair of the
Grow Your Biz, right?
And peer advisory board.
Okay.
Bringing a group of 16 women around a board table monthly for their own board meeting. And stepping away from the chaos of the everyday activities and business that we all have as women and nurturers and caretakers and business builders.
Mm-hmm.
And focusing strategically on business, looking at credit, learning that fluency, that education, hearing the good stories and the bad stories from your peers around the table about their own experience.
Wow, fabulous. Yeah. So let's hope a lot of women will do as much social media as we can, which we do with every guest that we have on our shows. And let's hope some more women find out about it and would like to tune in and listen to you on this and to the ladies, yeah. Because you're going to learn a lot. This is what we're about.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of media, Karen, as you know, tends to lean left or lean right. We like to lean business.
Yes. You know,
and that's what we're about with Business Radio and Tucson Business Radio. And we broadcast live out of the Stewart Title Building. They've been very kind to me. They're a wonderful company. And my studio is here on the second floor for local Tucsonans in on Broadway. On Broadway. I always wanted to get to Broadway.
You are.
In closing, pretty closely, Carolyn, what is it people don't know about you?
Well, you kind of made my heart pound when you asked that question, Mark. Because
that's the whole idea, my love.
I think this goes back to one of my very first experiences in the Air Force. And I'm going to try to tell this without getting emotional. I think it would be my upbringing and my background.
Mm-hmm.
Because I grew up one of five, and my parents were in Morocco, North Africa, for some formative years of my life. And then when we came back to the States, my dad was abusive. He was emotionally and physically abusive. And I lived in a community that was actually a bit, sounds funny to say on the radio, they were Mennonites. For a mm-hmm. while, you know, mm-hmm. head covering, wearing the whole thing, charismatic Mennonites, religiously speaking. So if you can picture people in head coverings rolling on the floor laughing, it was a very strange experience.
It would be.
And when I, left home at 18 to try to get away from that environment, you know, I struggled, and that was what led to the military. So as much as I may not be grateful for a military healthcare in the form that it came to me or the exposures that I had, I'm very grateful because it got me out of there.
Yes, gave you a life.
But when I joined the military and my sister, my youngest sister, went into foster care the year that I joined the military, and my first sergeant at the time looked at me and he said, I would never have guessed this from you, because apparently I look, you know, like I might be from a middle-class family or, you know, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, you know, the whole thing. But really, I have a background where I wasn't expected to go to college or start a $1 million business from home or anything like that.
Right.
And I told my parents I got a new job and I left for the Air Force. And I got
you would have shocked them.
I got a lot of flack for that, you know. I bet you did. Community that I was in. And so I think that lent a really strong background to me for coming into my own business, gave me a lot of backbone and a lot of
I think they're great. I always recommend to people, you know, if they've asked me about their children, but I mean, everybody's different, but I do believe in the military from a point of view of discipline. Find your life. You've got a wonderful opportunity. You get free dental, uniforms, friends. You can travel. I mean, what sort of university do you want? And in fact, isn't it when you come out, you still get paid to go to uni?
Absolutely.
I mean, God, who wouldn't? If I had it all over again, honestly, and I was young enough, what's 22 if you did 4 years in the military?
It's very good.
You get out with a trade, right? And you've got all these other benefits, and then you can rock off and do what you want to do and do all this jazz.
And
you know?
It told me what I was made of, you know? I've got some grit to me. And
that's
now
it.
There's some grit. There's things I can't replace about that experience.
You're wonderful. Yeah, and you're wonderful. And I think you've done a marvelous job. And I think you're very motivational for young ladies listening to you. Karen, in closing with you, what don't I know about you? Never mind anybody else.
So I would think that it's that I'm the first girl born in three generations on my father's side of the family. My grandfather was one of six boys. He was in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Like, there's hardly anything there now. I can't even imagine 1901. My mother was, my great grandmother was, she's Scottish and in logging community. So grandfather, and he was a police officer in Detroit during Prohibition and the Depression. And then my grandmother, then she had four boys. So I didn't, looking back at things and I'm talking to other women, I didn't realize that I ended up with a very, lack of a better term, a very male model of things. I was very involved in sports. My mother, I scared the bejesus out of my mom because I would climb over everything. So she put me in gymnastics at age four and I competed until 18, literally because she wanted me to know how to fall. she caught me. I was eight. Your young son, I was 18 months old and I had climbed, I pulled a chair up and climbed up on the counter and up on top of the refrigerator. My mother had put a chocolate cake up there that she had made for her birthday and I wasn't to touch the cake. Well, I climbed up and she found me sitting on top of the refrigerator. And I was like 2 years old somewhere.
See, even then you were meant to be an adventurer. You know? I'm surprised you haven't climbed Mount Everest.
Yeah. Well, there's one other thing funny. I think I may have told you, but one other thing funny in closing is I went ziplining upside down in Costa Rica, upside down intentionally in Costa Rica.
Excellent.
That was just 2 years ago.
Very good. There's a few people doing that.
Yes, yes.
Jumping out of planes.
A friend of mine just got back from doing that. Larry Udelman, I think he did some upside downing in Costa Rica too. Well, Isabel, have you enjoyed yourself?
I have. What a wonderful way to be welcome to the community of Tucson.
There you go.
I meet some fabulous other women and business owners and start to hear how fertile the ground is here.
Oh, you'll love Tucson. It's a great. We've got everything Phoenix has got without the heat, without the roads, and without the traffic.
You know,
we've got our own bottles.
I am seeing more and more evidence of this is where I belong.
There you go.
Yeah.
Isn't that lovely? Well, we were very fortunate today in No Glass Ceiling. We had Isabel Banerjee, we had Carolyn Herrick, and we had Karen Fisher. Three wonderful ladies, three stalwarts of the community here in Tucson. They will be and are. And we're glad you could take the time to tune in to Business Radio, Tucson Business Radio X. This is Mark Bishop signing off. I look forward to having you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.